I'm not kidding you. And I'm being honest. And nobody else can. If you don't understand grace and faith, you will struggle a lot. And you achieve zero. Not much. So it's important that you know how faith functions. It's important that you understand. Don't put it on presumption list. Don't pretend. Learn and study how faith functions, because that's the way every Christian lives his life. That's the way we live our life in the New Testament. It's by faith. So it's important that you listen, so that the Lord will teach us through Scripture. Now, every blessing that God provides us, God provides us all his blessings based on grace. Let me repeat this. Every blessing God gives you is based on what? His grace. God doesn't give you anything based on you. He gives us everything based on the grace he has given us in Christ. Based on his mercy. That's why the scripture says that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not, that's the only reason. Pride will make you think that you have achieved something to be able to impress God. You have become holy. Friends, it's not a matter of being better. Being better can't pay it. Being better can't pay it. There is the portion you are not. So what happens? Every blessing God gives us is based on his grace, on his mercy, what he's proposed to give you in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Because Jesus paid fully for all of it. You must believe this. You must believe this. I'm begging you. This is one of the reasons Christians don't see prayers answered, because they think God will answer it based on them. So if it's based on you, so what use is Jesus to you? So why do you pray in Jesus' name then? You cut out Jesus' name since you have qualified for it now. So what relevance is Jesus to you? That's why the scripture says that if you want to be justified by what you do, that Christ will profit you what? Nothing. So it can't be you and Jesus. It has to be Jesus only. We sing it all the time. On Christ, the solid rock, what? All other ground. But we create this sinking sand because of demonic deceit and religious thinking that Paul condemned so vehemently. He was so sorrowful about these things. He placed a curse on anybody who preaches for the gospel. Because he knows it doesn't help at all. It's the doctrine of Satan. So God gives us everything based on his grace. Can we say it with me? God gives me everything. I want to hear you say it. God gives me everything based on his grace. On this I stand. Let everybody say amen. And so because it is grace, the only way, it's no other way. Faith is the hand that is the spiritual arm that takes things that God has over to you. You say, oh, if God gives me this thing by grace, it will make me commit sin. Without those things he's giving you, you are finished. You can't even live holy. He's giving you his life. He gives you his life freely now. You don't have it. So how could you live holy without his life, without Christ in you, without the Spirit of God in you? All those things he's giving you is what will make you what you be. If you understand the plan that God has for us. And so in Romans 5:2, just want to bring out the importance of faith in our dealings with God. In Romans 5:2, but I'm reading King James Version. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, Romans 4 verse 16. So the promise is received. My brothers and sisters, the promise is what? Romans 4, 16. I'm reading New Living Translation. So the promise is received by what? faith. It is given as a free gift. That's what I'm saying. Healing is a free gift. Answer to prayer is a free gift. Prayed in by faith in Christ. Peter said, it's not our holiness, it's not our power, it's not us. So stop looking at me. I'm not different from you. He said, it is God glorifying his son. That's what made this man to walk. It's not Peter. It's not about Peter. It's not about Peter's holiness. It's not about Peter's power. It's not about Peter carrying anointing. No, 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 no. Only one person deserves all the glory. His name is Jesus. And God glorifies him when you trust him. Place all your faith in him. He glorifies Jesus in your life. So he says, the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. Now let's read the next line. And we are what? Can we read it together, please? And we are certain to receive it. We are all what? Certain to receive it. Can we say that again? We are all certain to receive it. Come on, let's go again. We are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we simply have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Do you know that Abraham received from God? There was no law. So the Bible is saying, if Abraham received without the law, why do you need the law to receive like him? There was no 10 commandments. Because God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Not because Abraham would do this. It was a bargain thing. Abraham was living in the hidden country. His people were hidden. Rank hidden. And God simply came and chose him and said, okay, you move out of here and go to where I will bless you. The man rode around, even made mistakes, even gave out his wife. Don't tell him what I'm saying about him. Please don't let Abraham hear. He gave out. God, have you seen this kind of thing? Somebody gives his wife out. He said, follow them. Let me eat. Let them not kill me here. Go and be their wife. It doesn't get worse than this. You are not taking my wife, my friend. And Abraham, the wife hasn't finished saying, you know my house, girl. He said, yeah. So what do you say? He said, you know we can have children. He said, that's a good idea. And he went and had children. I mean, Abraham was just human. Like everybody else. There's no law given to this man. God gave it to him as a matter of promise. And then now he says, the same, isn't it the blessings of Abraham where I am? Enjoy. And God says, the law can't disannul it because it was given to Abraham without the law. So how can God now interject the law to come and affect the promise he gave to Abraham when there was no... Are you following what I'm saying here? Church, get a grip. Somebody say it will make you sin. Without it, you sin more. Without it, you sin better. You are sinning already. We are gossiping and telling you, are you perfect? Without this thing God is giving you, you will see more. It is this gift, this thing God is giving us in Christ that transforms our life to what we should be. For it is God at work in you. And God is offering you the equipment and everything with which is changing your life. And you're saying, no, don't give me. I want to be better. Okay, when you cut off Christ and without Christ you can do nothing, let me see how much you can do now. See how much you can do. So now, it is the promise is received by faith. And you can't have victory without faith. I hope we know that. Victory over sin. Don't worry about dressing up on Sunday morning. Forget about that. All this heavy talk about, you know, being holy and everything. How many people have seen that really holy? Yeah, it will quarrel all over, quarrel in the family, quarrel everywhere, gossip, beer grudge, don't talk to this person. It's everywhere. Something is wrong. Paul said, I am what I am by, is the grace of God that turned me around and made me what I am. Nothing else. It's humility to yield to what God is doing. So that God can make you. He said, follow me. I will make you. And so without faith, there's no victory coming. We can pretend we are in victory. We can be talking like we are in victory, but we are not really in victory. We are being defeated. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Every child of God what? Talk now. Every child of God what? And we achieve this victory. How? All things are possible only to them. Believe, not to them that make more effort. Talk. Talk with nothing to show for. We achieve this victory through faith. 1 Peter 5:9. We stand him. 1 Peter 5:9. That stand firm against him, that's the devil, and be strong in your faith. Be strong. Let me read it in this amplified translation. I think this is AMPC, I'm not sure. 1 Peter 5:9. We stand him, be firm in faith against his onslaught. Be firm in faith against his what? Onslaught. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So what you use to overcome is being strong in your faith. Determined, rugged in your faith. Your faith is your shield. Your faith is your shield. When you trust in what God said, when you trust in what God's doing, you put God in front. But when you trust in what you are doing, you put yourself what? In front, and you become launch. I don't care how determined you are. Peter said to Jesus, I will never deny you. Lie. And he meant it. That's what we teach people in church. We talk about sin a lot. And people come, oh, pastor, oh, from today, you are another Peter, my friend. Oh, from today, I will never. That's another Peter. That's not faith. That's faith in yourself. That's boasting in your strength. And by strength shall no man what? So Peter said, Jesus, you know how much? You know me? I have a sword. I would never, even if everybody denies you. I, Peter. And Jesus said to him, you have already fallen. He said, you are in trouble already. Because you are trusting in what cannot save you. Here is the savior of the world, and here you are trusting in yourself. And Peter drew sword and started the war. Because you hear some sermons, you are really determined, man, you are a Christian, you don't want to do this thing again. It lasts 1 week. Then things got really hot. And Brother Peter was now following from a distance. Then a little girl said, it looks like, I think I saw you with, he said, my friend, if you call my name there again, he moved away. Then another little girl came and said, the way you talk, I think Peter started swearing. Then the third time he cursed. See the progression. Deny, swore, cursed. And Jesus turned and looked at him. He said, that thing you trusted has failed you. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I'm your only hope. I'm your only hope, Peter. Those that trust in him, they will not be put. He's the one that can hold you. He's the one that can keep you. He's the one that can keep you, brethren. The onslaught you can't handle. Only him. He said, I've overcome this world for you. He's the one that can overcome this world for you. He's the one who can give you wisdom. They can't stand. They can outwit you if you don't use his wisdom. They've been around before you were born. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Can we say that with me? Say it louder. Come on. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. He's the answer. Once you put your faith in him, you put him what? Front. Let them come. The Lord taught me this. I didn't hear from anybody. He said, if you put my word forward, you put me in front. It's between me and that. And they can't stand me. But if you put yourself forward, you put me where? And what happens to you? Ephesians 6:16, Amplified. I think AMPC, Ephesians 6:16. It says, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith. It says, lift up that covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. All the flaming missiles. Is that shield of faith? 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not 2 Corinthians 1:24. I think I'm reading King James Version. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. Nobody has dominion over your faith, brethren. No pastor. Nobody. Nobody. That's why you should study and develop your own faith. Nobody. You can't depend on my faith. I can't depend. Jesus said it is your faith that has made you what? Oh, you can't go and be. You won't listen to Bible studies. You are not there. Sunday school, you are not there. And then when things come, you start following pastor around. Because that's what people think. Ah, I don't need this. I know what to do. Did pastor travel? Yes, I traveled. When is he coming back? Why are you asking? Did they tell you to put your faith in Pastor Chinidu? I told somebody, I said, why am I your God? All these things they are teaching, you won't listen. Because this is what you need. You don't need Pastor Chinedu. You don't need Pastor Chinedu. You don't need Pastor Chinedu. You don't need any pastor. You need the word of God. You need the word of God. You need the Holy Spirit with you to guide you in the light of this word. Once you get hold of his word, you are good to go. You put your shield everywhere. Anywhere you put up that shield, all the missiles are falling. Prah, 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 prah. You are behind the shield. Somebody shout hallelujah. You put me in front, I will run before you. That's why people they won't listen. Because they think, if anything happens, I go and call pastor. Then they start looking for men of God. Opportunity God gives us. Don't let it slip through. You will need it. In this life, you need it. Praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. We just help your joy, encourage you. That's all we do. For by faith you what? So if your faith is compromised in any area of your life, what happens? You fall. You fall. You fall. And faith is not, I have faith because I've been a Christian. I meet Christians, I'm talking with them. Say, pastor, I have faith. I'm listening. Everything they're telling me is not faith. They are talking serious doubt and don't believe. They think faith is because I've been going to church for a long time. Faith is not something you say, I have, and then you have. It's not like that. I'm not kidding you. It's not like that. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the King James Version. King James members, how are you? Your number is reducing every day. I think we'll close your church. I know your pastors here, King James pastors. Doctor is in front, is your archdeacon. Which is your usher. Okay, King James is good. It's my reference Bible. No matter what, man, I still go back to King James. Yeah, I still go back. It's awesome. But then I still use New Living Translation. But whatever happens, at the back of my mind, I'm vetting everything with King James. And it helps me a lot. So I'm not knocking down King James. It's still very good. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it's better than all these new things that are translating, feminist Bible and everything. So what is faith? Now, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is the substance. Substance is something that exists. Am I right? It's the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now, another translation says, now faith means we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. We are convinced of what we do not see. Another translation says, faith is the warranted deed that things which for which we hope for is finally yours. Another translation says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So you see that faith is talking about things you do not what? See. Now, for us to understand faith better, we need to really come and differentiate faith and hope, because many people confuse hope and faith. And there's no way the scripture says on hope you stand. There's no way the Bible says the prayer of hope is what gives you the answer. There is no way the Bible says the shield of hope is what quenches the... Not, there's nothing like that. And the Holy Spirit knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. He didn't say you receive the things of God by hope. He says it's given by grace, it is received by faith. But hope has its place. You need to understand the place of hope in faith so that you are sure you are not operating in hope, thinking that you are in faith. Now, in order to make it simpler, hope is for the future. If I'm hoping to see God, it means that God hasn't come. Immediately I see God, am I still hoping? No. So hope is something that you will see. Something that what? You will see. Hope is for future. Hope is for the eye, the natural eye, what you see. Hope is for what? If you walk by hope, you walk by sight. Hope is what you, the moment I see dark, I'm no more hoping to see. Because I have, but if he says, Pastor, I'm coming to see you. Somebody said, why, as I'm hoping to see daddy that he's coming. Then that hope ceases to be hope the moment he walks in. Because my sight is now satisfied. The Bible says, what you see, why do you hope for it? So let's read that scripture before we begin to define the difference again. In Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we, I'm reading New King James Version this time. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. You see? We are growing and waiting for something, for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It's not talking about redemption of our spirit, because we're already redeemed. What is talking about this body, this flesh, that Jesus promised us that will give us a new body. He said we are eagerly waiting for it. So it's something that will happen when Jesus comes. He says, verse 24, for we are saved in this hope now, that our body will be finally changed. But hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is what? It's not hope. But faith is about things that are seen, but you don't see it physically, but you see it with your... So since it's a thing that are seen, there's no more hope for it. If I want to see my brother is in the moment I see him, what am I hoping for? If you say, where is he? Oh, he's here. No more hope. My physical eye has been what? Satisfied. So that's the question he's asking here. He said, let's read verse 24. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Is that what he says? Hope that is seen is what? It's not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? So, okay, let's continue. Where are we? Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for,
Which means you don't see it with your physical eye. The hope of faith is saying, my physical eye does not see destiny. Hope is about the physical. What you see. Faith is about the spiritual. What is not revealed to your eyes, but they do exist. For instance, God is. What is God? Have you seen him? But God, that's why the Bible says, he that cometh to God must first of all believe that God is. God is. God is, and we know it. And we believe that. But one day, the Bible says, when we now get to heaven, then we will see all these things, which we really believe. So we have hope of heaven, hope of Jesus coming, hope of seeing Jesus, hope of our body being changed. And that hope is not faith. Anything that you are depending on seeing is not faith, it's hope. Now, in order for us to make it, Lord, help me make it simpler. Let me make it simple. Let's try and make it simpler. If I come and say to Brogodi now, Brogodi, come, let's demonstrate this thing. Let me see if we can make it. Let both of us try and crack it down a little bit. If I'm talking with Brogodi, and I say to Brogodi, Brogodi, you know I prayed for healing. And God will answer, God will heal me. Is that who? God will heal me. Is that who? Is that who? Is that who? Why is it hope? Because the reason I have not said that God has healed me is because I want to what? See, that's called hope. Now, if God comes to me and says, Pastor, we prayed about this healing now. And he says, but God had us now. Is that faith? Is that faith? Is that faith? Why is it faith? He's not basing it on to satisfy this. He's basing it on what he already knows that is already done. And how did he know it? The Spirit witnessed to him. He said, if you ask, I give. He said, Pastor, we ask now. And God says, if you ask, he gives. So God is faithful. And Pastor says, but God, my leg is still. So I've switched to what? Hope. Because I want to satisfy. Because that's the natural faith everybody has, which Thomas operates. Thomas said, except I see, I will not. Jesus said, no, you are living in hope, Thomas. You don't get blessed like that. He said, blessed are those who first of all what? Believe before. So is it clearer to us now? Thank you. So when you pray and answer this back, the day you see it, your eyes is satisfied now. So you don't have to hope, you don't have to believe. But faith is not about what you only hope. But faith says, God told me, has given it to me. So the only evidence of faith is what God says. Because God says, I'm a spirit. And so the scripture says something amazing. Something totally amazing. How Christians walk. Don't walk by hope. Don't walk by faith. By sight. Don't walk by hope. Don't walk by hope. Don't walk by hope. Tell your neighbor what I said. They didn't hear me. Tell him what I said. Are you afraid? So the Bible says something amazing. He said, why we look at things that are not seen? Really? Looking at things that are not. So how do you see things that are not seen? God tells you about it. The Spirit of God tells you about their existence. The Spirit of God tells you, I've healed you. And you decide to either walk by sight now, which means until I see it, I'm not satisfied, or walk by faith and say, no, I believe what you said. And then the pain increases. But you say, no, I know in whom his word is, yea and amen. See, you are living faith. You are not Thomas. How many of you are Thomas? Thomas. Okay, who is Thomas' brother here? Any brother? Thomas. You are denying him now. I'm calling him to come and point you out. Praise the Lord. Is it clear now? Is it very clear? Now, listen to me. This will stop your prayer anytime. We'll come to faith and prayer. Because you see that only the prayer of faith is what works. That's what the book of James says. So if it's hope, it's not going to work. So faith, how does faith come then? Romans 10:14. Romans 10:14. I'm reading New King James Version. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not what? Heard. So you must hear first. And how shall they hear without the preacher? So you must hear something to believe something now. You can't believe what you didn't hear. Faith doesn't come by reading. But reading will lead you to hearing. Until you hear, faith hasn't come. Faith comes by, and the Bible says we live by every word that comes out of the mouth. Hearing, brethren. Many people read their Bible, they don't hear nothing. They just read it. So I had quiet time, had nothing, absolutely nothing, and runs out. No, you have to hear. And you have to be able to write down what you heard. Then that's where you have had communion with the Holy Spirit. So faith comes by hearing. It's what we say all the time, but we don't even practice it. Look at Romans 10:16. That's what we say. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's do an exercise. This side, I want to give you an assignment, and I'll give you a question. This side, I want to give you an assignment. I'll give you a question. Now, listen to your own side. If you fail it, they will take over from you. From here, and from here. So we have three sessions, including this is, I made you their chairman here. Their chairman. Don't collect their offering or tithe. Now, the first one for you. Put up for them Romans 4:16. 1-18. Yeah, put it up for them from here to here. I don't know if you can do split and put a. Okay, let's do it. Romans 4:16. Can you read it? 16 to 18. We're reading 16. Give them, let me see. I think New Living Translation is what I have. Is that what you have? New King James. So you prefer New King James? Okay, let's go. Now let's go. We're reading 16 to 18. Now let's go. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Continue. We are going to 18. As it is written, I have made you a father of what? Many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your seed be. Now tell me, how did Abraham's faith come? What did he hear? What did God tell him? You'll be a father of what? So shall their seed. And the Bible said he believed what God said. That's the source of faith. God must tell you something rhema to you. You can't copy me. You can't copy my testimony. You got to hear from God. You can't copy me. You can't copy him. You can't copy him. God has a word for you. Between you and him. Every child of God hears the voice of God. Because it's your father. He's involved in your life. It amazes me how Christians think that God talking to you is something super, that is reserved for very holy. God talks to everybody. God loves us so much. God talks to you. Before I got saved, God was talking to me. the first time I saw vision, I wasn't even saved. When I was, I knelt down talking to God. I said, Lord, I don't know you. I said, this is true. I don't know you at all from Adam. I told him the truth. I said, I don't know you. I said, but you created marriage. You are the first one. If I make mistake, I'll blame you the rest of my life. I said, who is my wife? That's what I didn't know any better. I said, I don't know my wife. I said, I'm coming from neutral point. I have no choice. Just show me my wife. I saw a vision. Boom! My wife was sitting in our living room with my father. She was tying wrapper. These women tie for staying at home. They were talking. I was looking at this. I said, hey. I looked at my bed. I said, what's going on? I said, is this not my bed? This is my roommate. I looked at it. I said, God, if you brought this in, take it off and bring it back. The thing went off and came back. Talking to you. That God talks to you doesn't make you special. It's just that God loves you. Love will make you pursue people. God is pursuing us. Jesus came to seek and to save us from our dungeon of sin. So what, talking to you is what God wants to talk. Man, he's so excited. He wants to talk to you. He wants you out of the trouble. He doesn't want you there. God loves us intensely. It's love that no human mind can articulate. I mean, you gave your only begotten son to come and die a credit for sinners like us. Jesus said, what greater love is this? God says, I gave you my son. What will I not give you? Is he talking to you? That's a big deal. Come on, shout hallelujah. You know, we block ourselves out of God's blessing because of religious thinking. We think that God talks to only pastors. It's not true. Jesus said, my sheep hear. If you are a sheep, you should hear his voice. I mean, don't expect to hear voices because you hear demons. He talks to you through the Bible, through your mind, through ideas, through even people. You can be talking with somebody. You say, did you know this, what I was thinking about this morning? Yeah, God's talking to you through something. You should know how God talks to you. Praise the Lord. Come on, church, I say praise the Lord. There is no problem you enter into God has not spoken to you about. Sometimes before it comes, there's none. He will talk to you. If ordinary church service, you can be there and be here. Even Sunday school. God is so merciful. Oh, my God. God loves us all. It's amazing. We have children now. When he was small, the boy would go, I want him to put his hand in the skillet. Is it skillet? What do you call it? This fire thing on the grill. Fire on the oven. He loved fire on the oven. So we're chasing him up and down, not to put his fire on the oven. So one day he finally put the thing, cured him. Never went back there. But because we loved him so much, we would do everything to stop him. Man, we will pursue him. I run after him. The mother run after him. We were doing everything to stop him from burning himself. But he outwitted us one day and finally. I love him, but God loves him more than I do. I can't love that boy as much as God loves him. What God will do for him, what God will do for you, oh my God, what God will do for each one of us here is beyond your imagination. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. The church should teach the love of God. That's why there's not much love, because we treat people the way we think God is. We do me, I do you, God no go face. If you see what he told me today, I don't like the way he talked to me. Why? But why don't you just overlook it and move on? What's wrong with you? Tomorrow you go and greet the same person. Do you know how many things we do that God grieves about, and he's still there for us? If God will count my iniquities, I can't stand there. And the same with all of us. Shout hallelujah. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. You know, it's time for us to live real and be truthful and stop pretending. God likes truth in the inward part. Embrace the mercy of God. It will change your life like nothing. The grace of God will soften your heart make you loving, make you caring, make you overlook things. May you stop quarreling like children. You start acting like mature people. You start having compassion instead of anger. Instead of judgment, you find edification. You find the good, you see the good sides of people you haven't seen before because you are blinded by judgment and laws and sin and all these things. Praise the Lord. It's your turn. Let's read your own. I think I left out your own. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12:8. 12:8, New Living Translations. It's your turn now to read this one and talk to us about it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, New Living Translation. Read now. See, if you don't read, you have failed already. We hand it over. I read 1, 2, 3. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works based in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can. Where did he get faith to stand and say, in infirmities I can now boast, I'm not afraid? Where did he get the faith? Huh? What did he hear? What did he hear? My grace is what? So when you pray in your closet, you don't stop until you hear what God is saying about that. You can't have faith until you have had God in your prayer. You got to hear. You got to step out of your prayer closet. If you don't hear today, go back. You must step out of there and say, I know what God is now saying. That will be your faith. And you are good to go. Can I hear amen? Let this air turn up and down. You know what God told you. You just give it. And that will be your solid because you had God. Faith coming by. Yeah. So the faith can come in your precious prayer. It can come while you're studying. It can come while you're driving. But the Holy Spirit is talking to you about something. I'm telling you about this thing. Once you know what God has said, you are good to go. You are good to go. And usually things will turn south, but because you have had it, you are just smiling. And people are wondering, is it you didn't know what is happening? No, I know, but I had God. I know what it's going to, I know how this thing will end. Praise the Lord. Are we clear on this? So when we say faith cometh by hearing, then we must be able to identify what it has. So can you imagine somebody saying now, in infirmity I rejoice, because I know what he told me. He told me that in my weakness his power is awesome. So when I'm weak, it doesn't bother me, because I know when his power begins to. So, but you know, in our weakness, that's when we run away. When we fail, we run away. Paul said, no, his power, his grace works more when you need it most. In your weakness, he said, that's when I unleash my power to help you. I will not let you fall. Praise the Lord. You didn't hear me. If you had me, you would have been excited. He won't let you fall. I say he won't let you fall. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Since we consider and look not. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Since we consider and look not on things that are. I'm giving you our own assignment. So we don't look at the. No, put AMP. AMP. Okay. Since we consider and look not. Read now this side. Come on, let's go. Since we consider and look not at the things that are seen, but on the things. For the things are. Brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deadless. Can you give me two key points from this scripture? Two key points. that this scripture gives the Christian. Two key points. There are other, but two key points that this scripture gives us. Don't walk by sight. Because the things that you're looking at are fleeting. They are for a moment. Then what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Huh? Well, I gave you the second one. Doctor, you did this for them. He says, don't walk by sight. You got it. Then number two things, he says, those things you are looking at, they're just for a... So don't let it bother you. It will go over. The things you don't see will finally come up. Because the things we see are made by the things. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then let's look at Romans 4:19. I'm still giving you Romans 4:19 to 24. I think we'll close with this. Next week, we'll do the language of faith. You must be here. We do faith and prayer. You must be here. We do how to develop your faith. You must be here. But let's look at, what did I give you last? Romans 4:19 to 24. I read it. Romans 4:19. Okay, let's go. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his body, which was so... continue verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him what? Waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Now let me ask you people a question. Was Abraham tempted to walk by sight? Huh? He was. What tempted him? The hopelessness of the wife and his own body. So what did Abraham do? Decide. What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? He ignored all of that. Go back to 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his. It was a hopeless thing of his body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah, deadened womb. He didn't touch him at all. The Bible, King James said he did not consider all of those things. Why didn't he do that? Verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him what? Waver. Doubtingly or question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. 21. Fully satisfied and assured that God was what? Able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had. Case closed. He heard from God. 100 years didn't bother him. Getting older didn't bother him. Deadness of his body didn't bother him. The Bible says he didn't bother this because he was assured. You see, it's faith that really proves that you believe that God is God. Because if this man didn't believe that God is who he is, he would doubt him. That's why without faith, it's impossible. Yeah. You can't doubt the existence of God and say you're pleasing him. This man said he was fully satisfied and assured. Fully. Not half. Not maybe. Maybe not. The things getting worse didn't bother him. Ah, man. Paul said, I know in whom. It didn't bother him at all. He said, good God is able to raise the dead. What's about distance? Can I ask you a question? Answer me. Do we get bothered when things get bad? Huh? Why? Why? Abraham was a spirit. They were human beings. Talking like it. Abraham was a spirit. Why? You know why? we don't hear God. We won't hear God. And we want to exercise faith without hearing. Faith in what? Nothing. So you'll be bothered. You will be bothered. I'm not kidding. You'll be bothered. Because faith hasn't come. What you are doing is called presumption. Just acting presumptively. That steadfast love of our Lord.